We want to welcome you all to Katy Christian Community Church. We're glad that you're able to join us this morning. Why don't you just stand with me as we sing praises to our King.
The power of sin and darkness. The love is mighty, it's so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings.
See who shakes?
Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. I sing for all that you've done for me. All that you've done for me.
Sing who brings.
Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. With truth and justice, shine like the sun in all of His brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That You would take my place. The grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. You would take my place. That You would bear my cross. You would lay down Your life. That I would be set free. I sing for all that You've done for me.
Amen. Would you take this next few minutes to fellowship with one another?
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for coming to KCC this morning. It's great to have you guys here. Let me go ahead and just open us in some prayer. And so, Father, I just thank you so much for all the blessings you have given us. I thank you so much for this cooler weather after a hot summer. And God, I thank you so much just for the fall fest and this is the atmosphere that is coming, God. I pray for Pastor Wei as he gives his sermon. I pray that you would help him teach us your word in a way that is meaningful, that in a way that will help us remember it throughout our week, in a way that will transform our lives. I pray for all the people who couldn't be here this week because just they don't feel well and they have some sickness, God. We pray that you would heal them and that you would just comfort them in their time of need. And God, I pray that you would help us, all of us, stay healthy. We love to be blessed by you, Father. And we seek it out so much in our lives. And it's so great that you are such a good Father to us, that you do bless us so much. And so we definitely praise you, Father, for all the goodness you give to us. And God, we just ask that you continue being good to us. Be with us as we worship you. I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Would you stand as we continue worshiping our God?
Upon that cross.
to me.
Worthy of every song.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We'll live for you.
Sing Jesus the name.
Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We'll live for you. Oh, we'll live for you.
Holy.
No one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Worthy.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We'll live for you.
Jesus, the name above.
Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We'll live for you. Oh, we'll live for you. Holy. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
I'll build my life upon your love.
I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you. In you alone, and I will not inside of you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Father God, we thank you that you've adopted us as your sons and daughters. And God, we praise you that you are a father who gives good gifts to his children. And God, I pray that what we just sang, God, that that would be our heart's song, God. That we would build our lives upon your gospel, God. Upon your love, that we would fix our lives and on you, who is a firm foundation, God. God, I pray for the message, God. I pray that you would send your Holy Spirit to attend the preaching of your word so that we might believe that it is good and true. God, would you be magnified in this place this morning, God? And we love you and trust you. In Jesus' name I pray.
Right. Well, it's great to be back here in Katy. Had a great time in New Jersey last weekend, speaking at a missions conference there. And visiting with another church kind of reminded me of some of my past experiences in some other churches. And I was thinking back on a time of when I was serving at the church in California, CIBC, and as youth and college pastor many, many years ago. And I was thinking of a time when I was working with some of our youth co-workers, and there was a guy, we'll call him Theodore, and he was one of our youth workers, and during or before or after the youth group, he would go up to Colleen, and he would give her a back massage. And so he would be in there, and he'd be, you know, just giving her a back massage, you know, like this and all over. And it was probably pretty innocent. He did not mean anything romantic by it. In fact, Colleen had a boyfriend, so I'm pretty sure it was all platonic. However, it was enough just so that I felt a little uncomfortable, you know, and just seeing our youth leader kind of back massaging another female there. And so what was I to do? What was I to do? You know, as I mentioned, I was in the Northeast this last weekend, and the Northeast is kind of a bastion of higher education, right? It's right up there with all the Ivies, and everybody's kind of shooting for this higher education, this higher life. And as we're going through Colossians here in our English worship service, we are trying to attain not a higher education, but we're trying to attain this higher life, this superior life in Christ. And last week, Minister Randall challenged us to live out this new life, because we're now free in Christ and no longer a slave to sin. But for the next 4 weeks, as we seek to attain this higher life in Christ, we want to focus in the area of our relationships, because as we all know, for those of us who've gone to Focus, we know that community, we must, right? And friends, we need. That life and life in Christ is not meant to be lived out in isolation as an island, but to attain that full life in Christ, we need to do that in the context of a community and relationships with others. So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be focusing on that. Today, we're going to focus on the church. And the next week, we'll be talking about the home. The following week, we'll be talking about relationships at work or at school. And lastly, we'll talk about relationships with those outside of the church. So our focus, and actually we started last week, is now shifting towards relationships. But relationships can be kind of tricky business, right? I mean, relationships can be some of our most rewarding experiences in life, and yet they can also be some of the most risky. And we face that even here in our church. We have people from a Chinese background, people from an English background, we've got children, we've got senior citizens, we've got generation gaps, and sometimes people will do things or they will say things that will hurt us or offend us or bother us so much so that we might not want to be around them. We might start to avoid them. We might not want to work with them. We might even leave a group or leave a relationship or leave a church because these relationships are so difficult. Well, how can we live out that superior life in Christ so that in the context of relationships, we're handling it in a way that we can stay together and move forward? That's what I want us to look at this morning. And so turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 12, right where we left off. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. How can we obtain that superior supremacy in Christ in the context of our relationships in the church today. We start off in verse 12, and Paul gives us the command, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. And then he's going to tell us what to put on. So the command there is to put on or to clothe yourselves. Now, before we get into the details of what that is that we want to put on, let's get a little background as far as the motivation or the reason. And we see here in the ESV, maybe in some of your versions, there's the therefore. It's put on then. And I think it's referring back to all that Paul has said. So why should we put on some new clothes? It's because of all that we have in Christ and all that has been accomplished in Christ. And as Minister Randall told us last week from the Word, that now in Christ, you are freed from sin. You are a new creature. This has been accomplished for us. And so simply live out who you are. And Paul continues with this as he tells us who we are. Right after this, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. So, because of who you are, put on these new clothes. And Paul is simply exhorting us to live out who we are. So would you say that with me right now, that you are a chosen one of God? You are someone whom God has elected. He has chosen you. And you are also holy. This is in the context of being set apart for God's purposes, and that you are beloved or dearly loved or loved by God. So can you just say who you are with me right now? I am chosen, holy, and dearly loved. Okay, let's just say that. I am chosen, holy, and dearly loved. Okay? Very good. And so Paul is simply exhorting us to live out who we are. Now, I've used this illustration before, but repetition is the mother of learning. Now, how many of you have seen Ice Age 2? Anybody in here seen Ice Age 2? All right, a couple of us. All right, now, see, in Ice Age 2, there's this mammoth. Her name is Ellie. And the problem is, though, is that Ellie has grown up all her life with opossums. And she doesn't realize that she's truly an elephant, a mammoth, right? So she's sitting up there and she's hanging by her legs from the tree with all these other small possums. And then Manny comes along and he says, hey, you are not a possum. You're a mammoth. Live like a mammoth. And so the story goes on. So finally she starts, you know, living like a mammoth and, you know, waving her nose around and being big and bad and all that. Well, Paul is telling us, you are no longer of the old man. You are the new man. You are free in Christ. So live as a mammoth. Live as the new man. And he tells us to put on clothes that are fitting to the new man. And so, see, all of us in the past, we were of the dark side, right? And verse 8 tells us that we used to be of the dark side, right? And so what we would do is, what does verse 8 tell us? Can someone read verse 8 for us? Yes. Anger, all these things. See, we used to wear clothes of the dark side. Anger, wrath, malice. And in verse 8 last week, he told us to take these off. Take these off, okay? And he's telling us now to put on the clothes of the light side. All right? We got to put on some new clothes because we are no longer the old man. We've been freed from sin, so we need to put on new clothes. Now, I would like to use another analogy, and that is that we think that you are no longer evil, rotten, bad, just like those Dodger fans. Okay, now I didn't have $120 to go and buy my Dodgers uniform, but all right, you are no longer a Dodger fan. You know, they do all these evil, bad things. So take off the clothes, and what you want to do is you want to put on the new clothes. You need to wear clothes that are fitting to the Astro fans. You see, now, like me, you don't want to wear Dodger blue anymore. You got, the word is really a clothing metaphor. Put on, you got to take it off. Take off the Dodger blue. You no longer look like that. And we need to put on the Astro orange. Okay? All right. So, now what exactly are the clothes that we need to be putting on? Well, Paul tells us in the rest of verse 12, he says, put on compassionate hearts or hearts of compassion. It's merciful bowels. It's the Greek word there is splankna, and it talks about the seat and the bowels of our being. We need to have these compassionate hearts towards one another. Kindness. It's often talking about goodness or kindness from God. And seeing that, then we extend kindness and goodness towards others. These are the new clothes we need to be putting on because of who we are now. Humility. Not thinking so highly of oneself more than he ought. But according to Philippians 2, even focusing on others' needs, just as Christ did, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God, something to be grasped, but even sacrificed himself on the cross for the good of others, focusing on others' needs. These are the new clothes. Meekness or gentleness. And patience, often again in the area of correcting someone, that we are not overly harsh, overly severe as we correct others. And patient, that God himself, he did not zap us with lightning bolts every time we sin. Zap. But no, he was patient with us. He confronts our sin, yet he does it with gentleness and patience. And so, in the same way, these are the new clothes that we are to put on. Now, if we need further explanation, let's keep reading. In verse 13, he tells us that we can do this through bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. And how? As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Continuing on in verse 14, and above all these things, put on love, clothe yourself with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And then verse 15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And so this peace of Christ, just like Christ has made peace with us, with God. So then we are to make peace with one another. And so all throughout here, we see that we need to clothe ourselves with Christ-modeled attitudes. To clothe yourself with Christ-modeled attitudes. That just as Jesus has exhibited these qualities towards us, that just as Jesus has made peace for us, with God, so we are to exhibit attitudes and make peace with one another. Now, do you guys know what a model is? You guys know what a model is? Yeah, a model is someone who wears certain clothes, and he or she, they walk down a runway, and they're modeling these beautiful clothes, right? So they're walking down, and they're modeling these clothes, and you see this beautiful man or handsome man or beautiful woman, they're walking down with modeling these clothes, and you see them and you say, "Woo, that woman, she's so beautiful because she's wearing those clothes, and so I want to be beautiful just like her, so I'm going to go buy those clothes," right? Well, Jesus, he has modeled for us godly attitudes in working with others. And so we're going to look at Jesus and we say, "Whoa, Jesus, he is the most beautiful person in the universe. I want to buy those clothes. I want those clothes." And so these are the clothes that we wear with living out our superior life in Christ. Now, how does that work itself out in our relationships with others? First of all, clothe yourselves with Christ-modeled attitudes. What are some ways we can do that? I think one of the best ways is to remember how Jesus was gracious and merciful towards us. To remember how Jesus was gracious and merciful towards us. As I was thinking of what to do with Theodore, I kind of had to pause for a minute and say, you know what? When in my relationships with women, I haven't been above reproach either. You know, maybe I've done some things that were inappropriate with women. Maybe I led them on, you know, to think I liked them more than I did. Maybe I was too distant from women at times, and I didn't know how to interact with them in healthy ways. And so as I remembered, you know, but God, he didn't zap me, and others, they were kind of patient with me as I was learning my ropes in my early and mid-20s. And so in the same way, can I not also be gracious and forgiving towards Theodore? You know, we encourage our children to eat veggies. Anybody get some encouragement to eat veggies in here? Yeah, you know. And it helps, though, and the children, they kind of like it. They're kind of getting tired of hearing it. But they kind of like it when I say, you know, when I was your age, I didn't really like eating veggies either. In fact, I only ate canned corn, Niblets corn and cream style corn. And they love hearing that story. "Oh, Dad, yeah, you love it." Now, it doesn't mean that I don't still say, now eat your spinach and eat your broccoli. But it does give me some sense of compassion to remember that I too was receiving gracious and compassion as a child. So how can we clothe ourselves with Christ-modeled attitudes? Kind of remember how God has been gracious to you. Another very practical way is just to pray. To pray that God would give you these attitudes. To pray that God would give you a love for people, especially when you have to approach the person to talk to them. Before you talk to the person, pray, "God, just give me a love for Theodore as I talk to him about this difficult issue about back massaging a fellow youth worker." But another practical application is to affirm that you and the person who you have a complaint against, that you are on the same team. Affirm that you are on the same team. See here in this passage, what does it say in verse 13 or verse 14? It says, "Put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." That you want to be bound together in harmony. And verse 15 tells us that to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, to which you were called in one body. So So you were called to be on the same team. So affirm that, that the enemy is not Theodore, right? Or someone out here in the audience. The enemy is Satan or sin, and you are on the same team. You are all of the same fan base. Lastly, another very practical application here in this passage is to give thanks, to be thankful. And we see this. Actually, this word is repeated three times here in this passage. At the end of verse 15, it's actually this sense of becoming thankful. And so if we can just practice thanksgiving, it will help us as we seek to have harmony with one another. We can thank God. Thank you, God, for rescuing me. Thank you, God, for forgiving me when I messed up. But we can also thank God for the person that we have a complaint against. That's right. So look around the room, this audience this morning, as we've done this before. Is there someone that you have a complaint against? Maybe it's in your home. Maybe I see people starting to point out one another. Right there, I see you, Will. Who are you pointing to, Will? Okay, all right. But whoever it is, you can thank God for that person. Not for what they do, but that they are in Christ. And try that as before you have to have that difficult conversation with them. Okay, so clothe yourselves with Christ-modeled attitudes. Look at verse 16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. All right, this is actually the fourth command in these verses. And the command here is to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So it's actually Logos Christo, the word of Christ, or some people like to interpret it, the message of Christ. And we are to let all that Christ is, all that the gospel and everything else that the Bible describes about him, we are to let that dwell within y'all, within all of us, richly. There's to be a depth to it. And so how do we do that? Paul tells us with these participles, we can do that one way with teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. And so that's why, friends, we have Sunday school. That's why we have focused small groups. That's why we have Cornerstone. That's why we have Agape small group. Because in there, we are taking the message of Christ and we're teaching and telling people. Teaching is telling them the right things to do. Admonishing is warning them against the wrong things to do. We're teaching one another in these small groups. And it's not, you notice, it's one another. It's not just Pastor Way doing all the teaching. Okay, but it's a one another, it's a communal, and that's why we like to have even, junior highs talking about the Bible with one another, lay people talking with one another. And so I want to encourage you to keep reading, keep studying different books that are biblically based, that will help you in communicating and in relating to one another. The one good book that I have is The Peacemaker, and that's why we went through that in Sunday school last semester. There is also a teen version to Peacemaker, but boy, I tell you, I've read a lot of biblically based books, The Five Languages of Apology, The Five Languages of Love, Difficult Conversations. They're fine, good biblically based books so that you can teach and admonish one another. But then he also goes on and tells us, singing psalms and hymns, and another way, spiritual songs with thankfulness. There's that word again, thankfulness. Another way to let the word of Christ dwell among us richly is singing songs with one another. And that's what we've done here this morning. We've sang, this is amazing grace, right? This is amazing love. And so as we talk about how great God's grace and love is towards us, then we are then moved to be gracious and loving towards others. Psalms, probably talking about literal psalms from the Old Testament, and they would probably pluck an instrument, hymns, probably referring to any kind of ode of praise to God. And spiritual songs, we're not exactly sure. It might be songs prompted by the Holy Spirit, or songs with a spiritual meaning towards it. But all of these can be used to allow the Word of God to dwell richly among us. And it can expand. I think the context is primarily in the area of God's love towards us and our relationships with others, but this can definitely expand to singing all kinds of spiritual songs, not only in the church, but at home, in the shower. And so, belt it out, you know? I had a great time this last week reliving one of my old Stephen Curtis Chapman songs, you know, from 30 years ago. I hope we can, maybe keeping it weird, we can do, saddle up your horses, ooh, we got a trail to blaze, whoa, through the wild blue yonder of God's amazing grace. Let's follow our leader into the glorious sun. No, to the glorious. This is, all right, thank you. This is the great adventure. So, yes, I mean, the context here is definitely God's love for us and then our love for others. But any song prompted by the Spirit, you know, this is the great adventure. We're going to keep it weird, right, Brother Randall? We're going to do that in a few weeks. Okay, all right. Now, lastly, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. As you relate to others, as you have those difficult conversations, as you have those disagreements, think back and think WWJD, right? What does that stand for? WWJD, what would Jesus do, right? Because you are resolving that conflict. You are approaching that person in the same way that Jesus would approach it. And you're thinking, how can I honor Jesus in this conversation? How can I glorify God? And so I wish I had thought of that as I had to talk to Theodore about the problem I had with him. I can't say that I was thinking, what would Jesus do, so much, but that's what we want to do. What would Jesus do, and how can I glorify him in any situation? Again, this is in the context of relationships, but we can expand what would Jesus do to any situation. How can I glorify God as I play in the orchestra? Have you ever asked yourself that question? What would Jesus do if he was in the orchestra? What would Jesus do if he were a student? How can I act in the name of Jesus? What would Jesus do if he was working at Shell or Exxon or BP? What would Jesus do if he was having romantic, well, he wouldn't, but how can you glorify God in romantic love? We've talked about that in Cornerstone, right? I mean, it is a good question to ask. Playing basketball in all of your life, certainly in the context of relationships, how can I glorify God? And what would Jesus do? So friends, this morning we've talked about how to attain that superior life in Christ in the context of our relationships with others. And we said we need to clothe ourselves with Christ-modeled attitudes. We need to center on the Word of God through teaching one another and singing songs. And in all that we do, let us do it in the name of Jesus as we approach one another and as we get along with one another. I'm kind of a sports fan, if you haven't noticed, but I've only had season tickets to any professional sporting event one time in my life, and that was back in 1980, many years ago. I was a teenager. And so I had what was called mini season tickets to the Astros. And what that meant is I went to about one out of every four home games, and so about one game a week. And so I went with my two cousins and my uncle, Bing, and we would drive once a week. And it just so happened that that year was the first year that the Astros made it to the playoffs ever. Back in 1980, it was they're playing against the Philadelphia Phillies. And according to Wikipedia, the 1980 National League Championship Series was one of the most exciting postseason baseball playoffs ever. And I have to attest that it was, because I was a mini-season ticket holder, and the series, you only had to go three out of five games back then, and the series went the distance. It went the whole five games. And as a season ticket holder, I got to see the last three games here in the Astrodome in Houston. And the last four out of the five games, they all went to extra innings. They all went to extra innings. And I can remember sitting there in the Astrodome with 46,000 other people just being so emotionally drained for those last three games. It was two in Philadelphia and then the last three in Houston. And it was a back and forth. And then it was 2-1. And then it was 2-2. And it came down to that last game. And we were just going up and down, you know, in each of those games. And by the, we would be there. And, you know, people, we had this one guy, he would get up and he would bang his drums and he would say, "Houston!" And then the whole other side of the last, the left field would shout back, "Astros!" And we were just going back and forth. And I can just remember, even though the Astros lost, we were just so exhausted, we were drained, but we were so together and we were so unified because we were all rooting for the same team. And friends, I don't know how this whole series is going to work out this weekend and all. But, you know, we are involved in rooting for and cheering for something that is far greater than any sport. And we're rallying behind not some superstar, but behind the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's pull together by clothing ourselves with Christ's modeled attitudes, by centering on the Word of God, and by doing as Jesus would do. Let's pray together. Lord, we praise you. We praise you, for you are worthy of our praise. Thank you for one another. Please help us, O Lord, to live out the Christian life as you have called us to call us to be who you've made us to be, as we seek to glorify your name. And we pray in Jesus' name.
I just want to invite you guys to stand with me as we respond.
Required.
You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for thinking I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Thank you for the gospel, God. We thank you that you sent your son to this earth to lead a perfect life and to die a brutal death so that we might become your sons and daughters. And God, would our response to the gospel be to live a life of obedience, God, to lead a life of worship? God, would we exalt you, not just with these songs, God, but would we exalt you with our words, with our actions, and with the way that we live our lives, God, and would we put away our old selves, who we were before knowing you, God, would we put on our new selves, and God, would we live in freedom from sin and its consequences, God? Would you be glorified in our lives, God? We love you and trust you. In Jesus' name I pray.
All right. Thank you, Josh. We have several announcements. First, are there any newcomers here? If you are new here, would you just please stand up real quick and introduce yourself? All right. Thank you so much. We have some more information out there for you if you like any more information about our church. And also, we offer any newcomers a free meal every Sunday. So please help yourself and don't worry about paying for your meal at all. Other than that, let's go ahead and get started. We have infant dedication forms are due today. If you have not given them in yet, quickly get them in. They go to Pastor John. Also, we have a couple of Halloween packets left. If you guys have not got a Halloween packet yet, we highly encourage you to do so. They have some great information just about what Halloween is, how it came about, how it came to be what it is today. And so I highly encourage you guys, especially the youth, if you want to know why we celebrate Halloween or what Halloween used to be, pick up one of those packets and just read the information in there. It's a great source of information. And also, within the Halloween packets are stuff to help you kind of redeem the holiday, make it something much more than what it has become by using this opportunity where people are coming to your door to share your faith with them. And so it actually has some information on how you can go about that, doing that as well. This is also the last Sunday of Pastor Appreciation Month. If you have not yet taken time to thank a pastor, I highly encourage you to do so. Just thank them today. And then also, a very important announcement. Next week, we all get an extra hour of sleep. So make sure you set back your clock. So that's a, yeah. For a lot of youth, that's a big thing. Operation Christmas Child is going on for the next couple of Sundays. What you do is we have boxes out there in the lobby. Pick up a box, and it will have instructions on what to fill the box with. And this is going overseas to students, children who really don't get gifts during Christmas. And so this is a way for them to get something that they don't normally get, but also when they hand out the Christmas box, they also share the gospel with them. And so it's a great ministry. I highly encourage everyone here to pick up a box and fill it up. It costs less than $10 to do so. We have a special announcement. I believe that's the night of Thanksgiving. And so I'll let her, I believe that's the announcement, the special announcement. And then, the last two announcements real quick. Our November Bible reading plans are on our website, and if you want a church calendar, they are on sale for at the lobby. But now I'll go ahead and invite our Krista.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. You will find a flyer today. It is about Thanksgiving night coming November 18th. So this year is really a special year in 2017. There's so many families have a trouble time in Hurricane Harvey and also some other different troubles. But we all see God is really in present in our church, so we still have a peace, had joy in the church. So we really should come back to the church, everyone. So on Thanksgiving time, it is time we give thanks to God. So we this time, church will have a church-wide Thanksgiving night service. So it is on Saturday, November 18th, start from 6 o'clock, we have a Thanksgiving dinner, and then start from 7 o'clock, we have a special Thanksgiving service. So what you need to do at this time, the first, I would really ask everyone to pray, count your blessing, and see how God works in your time of trouble. So also, I really recommend, encourage you to come to share your testimony, to tell the people how God works in your life, and make God's name be glorified. And also, I would like to encourage you to invite all your friends come to our church. It is a good time to let them to come to the church, to knowing God, and see how good of the church, and see how God is working in everybody's life. And also, on that Thanksgiving night, we will have a special slideshow. It's about hurricanes. Harvey, so if you have very good photos, I would really appreciate you can email to me. My email address is very easy to remember. My English name is Chris, and ZQ is my first letter of my Chinese name at hotmail.com. Please send me the photos before November 10th, so I will have enough time to collect all those photos for slideshow to share, to see how God working in our each one in our church. Also, the last one, it is we start to sell the Thanksgiving dinner ticket because it is a very troubled time of many family. So this year we want to try to reduce the burden of each of the, all those family is still under the construction of a rebuild family, rebuild home. So we will buy the dinner box for everyone. So I really encourage you to buy the ticket. It is only $5. It's just the cost of the it is really very good. You will be satisfied, I guarantee you. So if you plan to invite your friends, I really also recommend, encourage you to buy the ticket for your friends. It is a very good reason you can invite them to come here to share Thanksgiving dinner with us. So we will count the numbers so we can make an order with the restaurants. So really, most important, I ask one to pray for this Thanksgiving night service. May God's name be glorified highly, and may everyone knows God's work in our church. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Just like Minister Randall said, October is the Pastoral Appreciation Month, and if you have not done so, just go ahead to outside the lobby and write your prayers, your thank you notes, and to the pocket over there. In addition to that, the church council also provide all the pastors and the supporting staff with a loving token and the to thank them for their faithful service and shepherding our church. And so I would like to ask all the pastors and families and supporting staff coming to the front of the stage or handing the letter to each of you. Thank you.
there's one more announcement I wanted to make. It wasn't in our bulletin, but it is on the back for prayer requests. And that announcement is that Pastor Tan has been accepted by our council. The reason why I want to make this is because I want us to start the process of praying